But say that I'll tell you tomorrow. Let's leave it. I have enough today. Can I begin? Effie, good to see you. Good to see you. I heard from your uncle. Yitzchak, you heard last week's shiur where I dealt with what would be your question?
I'm sorry, I have to say I didn't hear.
I answered you even though you weren't here. All right, today is Sunday, the 23rd of February, 2020. And only in Israel that I am here is just a little miracle. My street is closed off. You know what they're doing? They're repaving Gaza. And my street is one way towards Gaza. If you try to go out, there's a city car blocking you. They started work. They're working around the clock. They started work last night, just as the newspapers said. The street now, the gutter. 12 o'clock midnight, I was awakened already by the machines. So I didn't speak well. I was, how am I going to get out? So my Gemara cup went to work. And I worked out the following plan, and it worked. I generally go to shul. I like to walk. It's up the step. But my neighbor can't do the walk anymore, Alan's cousin, Sam Dershowitz. So I always go in Sam's car to keep him company. So I told Sam, I'm pulling out my car first. You go behind me. We're going to go the wrong way till we reach the corner. If you know the street, it's one long block one way. Then you have double. I said, 5 o'clock in the morning, we shouldn't hit traffic. I'll look for a parking spot. The minute I can park my car, you wait behind me, and then you drive me to shul, and then you'll drive me back. I drove up. Tayasim, which hit Neely, found an illegal parking spot, but at night they don't give tickets. Parked, got into Sam's car, we got the shul. Right in time, Birchat HaShacha. And Baruch Hashem, Sam drove me back. I got the car. I got the gris as if nothing happened. What I'll do to get home, I just spoke with my wife. I may park the first spot I see and not come near my house. 3 weeks, Daffman upcoming. I wish it was just... I just wish... You're legal yet. It's at the corner. I just wish it was between Shiva's Batamas to Tisha B'Av, then I would feel, this is a Kiyum of the Aveira. All right. I want to say hello to my wonderful students in front of me and all those listening. I apologize. People called me and that answered their emails. They never got it. I'll have to check with Sherry. Something went wrong with a number of emails. And one lady thought I was... angry at her, upset with her. I want everyone to know there's no way you can get me upset. The last time I was angry was 1972 in Michlala over Rav Shlomo Gore. I told you the story many times, and I don't intend to get angry again as long as I walk the face of the earth. So please, don't be Hoshe B'ksheirim. The Rebbe doesn't get upset. You can ask all the questions in the world. Now, I want to dedicate today, Shia. I want to say a few words. You know, the world changed because of BMT. Elliot understands me better than anyone. And the BMT today is gone, forgotten. The only ones who remember BMT are the old-time cab drivers. If you ask them to take you to this building, if they're over 60, you better tell them BMT. They know the building is BMT yet. I want to dedicate today's shiur to one of my earliest students in Israel. And, you know, it hurts when you bury students. It's exactly his first yard site. Harry or Tzvi Grunstein. Elliot, do you remember him? He might have been BMT in your very year. His son is also my student, Yoshua Grunstein, Rabbi Yoshua Grunstein. So it's two generations of students, V'kein Hala. And just a few words about him, because his life is typical of the generation. His parents were survivors. You know what that means already, second generation with that burden of responsibility. His father had a grocery store in Queens. It was in various locations, but it was Shomer Shabbos. Do you understand what that means? Then there were still the blue laws then. So he lost Shabbos and he lost Sunday. Later, he switched to Forest Hills because there they allowed you to open Sunday, so he had that day which became paramount to him. And he was Matzliach. I have students, Dr. Phil Kaslow, told me everyone knew that this store you went to, not just for kosher products, but even unique American products that had a heksha, he knew what the frum people wanted. And Harry grew up, you know, in this environment. He came to BMT on Rehovah Barmanel, according to his son, 1971, where you, Rebbe, were instrumental in our family making an aliyah in 1988 from the Holy Five Towns, way before Nefesh Ben Nefesh, and it was in existence, and aliyah was in fashion. And, of course, this young man was so inspired by BMT that ultimately he made aliyah with his whole family. They integrated here beautifully, and life moves on. He came in aliyah here in Israel. He was a Talmud, listened to my shiurim, listened to Rabbi Shalom Gold, listened to my Talmud, Rabbi Steve Przanski. Today everything is available online. And the children integrated beautifully. Rabbi Yoshua Grinstein, as you know, one of the programs of Rabbi Riskin's empire, dealing with preparing rabbis to go chutz laretz. And I've told you many times, Scotty, these are kehilot that don't want Chabad. Chabad will go all over, and you got to give them all the credit. But there's some kehilot that have a hang-up, not Chabad. You're not going to find the YU guy willing to go to these favofene places in Europe. And this Rabbi Riskin fills the bill, and it's doubly beneficial because the biggest problem in Israel is buying an apartment. I need not tell you, I have many children and grandchildren and many, many great-grandchildren, and buying the apartment is the... Once you get the apartment, everything else is able. Kadesha Yasa, you can live, you can thrive, and... These rabbanim go chutz laretz 3 to 5 years and come back already with money to buy an apartment and live ever thereafter in Israel. So this is the family, this is the Grinstein family, this is BMT, this is what was achieved, and I dedicate the shir in Harry Otzvi's memory. I also want to welcome the Shurins, Baruchim Habaim B'Shem Hashem. All right, now coming back to some Pesach Shiurim. Yomo came up with a sauce that's second to none. As you recall, we spent many weeks on making Kiddush, making Havdalah, what can you use? And no one in the world could ever be matir water. Rakefet came up with a whole pilpul, and I've yet to hear a Chabad posek give an answer. When Eli, I saw the water from Lubavitch, I said, oh, a Chabadnik, he can talk and make Kiddush Shabbos morning, or perhaps Havdalah. This is Chama Medina for him, Chabad. All right, I haven't heard of Psak. But Yomo comes up with a source, Masechtet Kala Rabbati, Perik Rishon, right towards the end, and it's talking... Right towards the... It's the beginning of Perik Rishon? I'm feeding the page, you're right. And it's right there. This is the standard edition from the standard printed Gemara, I gather. It's not an edited edition. And right there it says that, what if you don't have wine? What if you don't like wine? What if the wine is ruined? And so it says, believe it or not, Amaya or Arifta, that you can make the Kiddush on water or bread. I have to say, all the sources we quoted, no one mentioned this source. So first of all, Yasha Kayach to Yomo, how did you come across this? I mean, you're not yet a bucky in Kol HaTorah Kula. If the rocket shover told me this, I wouldn't ask him how he came across it. But
it was unintended.
Unintended, okay. And now I have a sveik sveiker, a treid uve. What Chabad now is very simple. It's Lubavitch water, and Isaac, you have this sauce, in Masechet Kala Rabbati. You follow? It's two reasons. So I have to tell you, I'm waiting to hear a Chabad Posek agree with me, but it seems a Chabadnik with the water from Lubavitch, that bottle with that Heksha, he can make Havdalah. Okay, now, let me go one step further. Speaking what we spoke about last week, dealing with, got involved with Shabbos and the whole question of, it was a sideshow question. We were dealing with taking medicine on Shabbos and preventive medicine and what's the status of preventive medicine. You feel perfectly healthy, but you have high blood pressure. Your cholesterol is high. You feel perfectly healthy, but all this can create heart problems. And Rev. Menashe Klein showed great medical insight where he says this is it's absolutely permissible. He says you don't feel it, but this medicine is crucially important. And certainly on Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Laretz, he's matir lahalacha. And I would imagine we're all matir on not only Yom Tov Sheni, but as I said, the fact that we're not mesachek samamim today, we don't grind powder, so in back of every posek, this is a snif lahatir. I know people said to me that there's some who asa, some who are matir, and the ones that are matir, I'll tell you what their thinking is. Their thinking is that this gezeira was only made at a time that Herbie Maltz had to put the powders together in his pharmacy to give it to you. But nowadays that we're not putting the powders together, the Gezeira doesn't exist. I'll tell you, Rav Asher Weiss is inclined towards this thinking. And I told you, when I spoke with the Rav, so Murray Rebbe said to me that he rarely ever had a shaila about taking medicine on Shabbos that he couldn't be matir. Because once the person asks the shaila, he's generally in the category of nofil the mishkav. Nofil the mishkav doesn't mean literally you have to lie down in the couch, but it means you feel you would like to lie down. You don't have energy. We all know that feeling. And if that's the case, nofil the mishkav, lachet kamo is medicine like this. Now, when it came to we were talking last week about the blech on Shabbos. So I just spoke, and someone at Talmud, Ira Wishnitzer, my dear Talmud in Chicago, emailed me, and he said he discussed this with Reb Heschel many years ago. So I emailed him back that I'm going to catch Reb Heschel Shechta this morning, which I did, and I'll ask him. I don't have to depend upon others. So Ein Hachinami, Reb Moshe's sheet is very well known, and particularly exactly what I told you in class. It comes from Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin discovered a Perish Mishnayos of the Rambam, and the Rambam seems to be machmir, particularly that applies if you have the oven go on Shabbos on a time clock where you have the blech or the plato that we use in Israel. Rav Moshe would asa. Rav Zevin finally, Rav Heschel told me, and this isn't in the written, what I saw cited, and I can talk, I own the safe, I could look it up, but Rav Heschel told me that Rav Zevin said, look, we never saw this Perish HaMishnayos to the Rambam for so many centuries, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin otherwise, so we don't have to be chayshish, and we can use the time clock. All right. I do feel that I can bring another proof that Reb Moshe, with all due respect to Reb Moshe Feinstein, but his viewpoint on the time clock has been dismissed. You know what I'm talking about? Reb Moshe Asid using a time clock on Shabbos. Only lights, perhaps, keep it v'oneg, but not turning it on, the plata or the blech or whatever system you have with electric, not to turn it on and off to heat the food. But the world did not accept Reb Moshe on that level, and that's why, David, I can bring you a proof. Go into Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata. So you see that he's Mekil. At the end of all the sources he gives, he says that if you want to see Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's opinion, and he gives you the source in the Igrot Moshe, the source you gave me, Chelik Dalet, Orachayim, etc., So you see, he doesn't even quote it. He doesn't even cite it. He says, all right, he wants you to know if you're going to look at it, Yomo's going to get all upset. What, he didn't know Reb Moshe Feinstein? No, I knew Reb Moshe, but we don't pass him like him. Reb Heshu confirmed that my memory was correct. And it was a big, again, I don't want to go into more detail. It's not germane to what I want to do today. But it goes against the Ramah, and the Rav Taka Paskin Lahakel, based on a Rambam, meaning, and I remember when the Rav Paskin this way, people were talking, you know, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's a Geshmaka Kula. But the Rav Paskin, if you have the food on the blech at Lichbench, when you light, Ariane lights candles, the food has to be on the blech. You use it at night. You take off what you need. Now you're worried if you're going to leave it on the blech, it's going to be spoiled. So you can put it into the frigidaire, take it out in the morning, and put it back on the blech. And of course, we're talking about solids. The ein bishalach habishal, talking about solids, davar hayavesh, and that was the psak of the Rav. Now, nowadays in Israel, no one uses a blech anymore. Everyone uses a plata. And the plata has one advantage that the blech doesn't have. There's, again, I'm not a great expert in this because my wife, well, whenever she used the blech. We never changed. I told you, 51 years ago, I come in Aliyah and I try to get a blech made. It was not simple because they were already squishing the platas. But where my wife is very conservative with a small c, very, very old-fashioned. And her mother used the blech, her grandfather. Every one of my daughters uses a plata. A plata has one advantage. They tell me you can't adjust the heat. It's not like a blech where there's a shaila of hatmana and you know, in the Gemara in Shabbos, you're going to play with the heat. It's not like a blech where underneath there's lights, what do you call them, burners, and you can adjust it. A plata can't be adjusted. So that gives the plata a tremendous advantage. And Ein Hachinami, the minig in Eretz Yisrael is to use a time clock with the plata. It's on Friday night. It goes on again Shabbos morning. And they return the solids. Okay, so that concludes that, what I wanted to mention. My dear Talmud, David Newman, your relative, I mentioned eye drops. So I remember I told you, the Rav told me it's mutter to use eye drops because healthy people use eye drops. And he just, and I questioned, what do the eye drops do? So you remember Herbie mentioned something about serious eye drops. Well, that would not be a shaila, because that's already, you have to take it every day when you have a problem like that. But many over-the-counter eye drops are used to lubricate the eyes. And that's exactly what I felt. That these eye drops, it freshens your eyes. That's the word I used. And Rebbe seemed to know just what I was talking about. And he said, that's not a shaila, it's something healthy people take too. And I showed you, that's a machlokes. And with there too, we paskin that if healthy people take the medicine, it's not a medicine anymore. He's healthy, he's taking it, it strengthens him, it adds the care. Okay, and vitamin pills, I stand on what I said. I spoke both with the Rav and both with Reb Aaron Soloveitchik. Say, you have no idea if I'm talking Gedolim Asheba Aretz. And they both felt it's no different than food. And I was amazed to see in the Beis Medrash books that have come out on medicine and the Yassa vitamin pills. I'm talking in English, part of the Ruption Reconstruction crowd. Okay? Now, something else that came up, and both David Newman and another dear Talmud, Israel Shiner, if you recall, the Shaila I asked about the question, what is Reb Menashe Klein Newman writing Mem Reish, the Shaila we were dealing with last week, is to someone who tells Yeshiva, and the question with the pills on Shabbos. And he writes, Malatu Kvat Harav Reb Shalom Shapiro Mem Reish B'Yeshiva HaKadosha tells. And I told you, I looked up abbreviations, and all I got for Mem Reish was Mora Rebbe Mem Reish Mashkia Ruchani. and he still is the Mashgiach in Yeshiva Tells, Wycliffe, Ohio. Israel Shiner writes to me that it's no surprise. Remember, I raised the question, how does someone from Tells write, again, it's a Shaila to a Hasidic Posek. And he writes back, Israel Shiner writes, no surprise that he wrote to a Hasidic Posek, as he has a Hasidic side to him and visits the Square Rebbe of New Square whenever he visits New York. So that answers that question very interestingly. Finally, I just want to mention a story that I heard many variations of. Israel Shiner writes to me, and he heard it from Rav Nutan Greenblatt of Memphis, who Rav Nutan Greenblatt of Memphis is no youngster. This is Rav Ephraim's brother. I think it may even be a slightly older brother. And these people, he is the last living Talmud of the Rav's Kollel in Boston. No, what am I talking about? Eli, the Rav's Kollel in Boston, do you know what I'm talking about? No, you know Washington by heart. That's not enough to know Washington by heart. When do you start working on Revel? No? Revel to know by heart is a lot more important than a book written by that dummy about his life called Rakethet. Revel is about, all right, it's Rakethet's blood relative, but nevertheless. But anyway, the Rav Isaac, the story is very simple. Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, you heard of? Okay. Reb Moshe was very upset. His son is in Boston in the rabbinate. With all due respect to the American rabbinate in the 1930s, nothing to boast about. What do? You're getting shilas, which way to hold the lulav up, what's going to be with all his great learning. So the Reb Moshe got Reb Dov Revel to agree. They opened a branch of the yeshiva in Boston, a kollel. And in 39-40, gathered around the Rav the greatest minds imaginable. The Chafetz Chaim crowd, those Talmidim from New York, from what's today Rav Yisrael Meir Kohen, they were with the Rav. The Chait brothers, you have no idea who gathered. Yudapeisha, who came in running away from Hitler, Rabbi Benjamin Back of Baltimore. Again, it's a name you never heard of, but his son was Rav Riskin's right hand. That's the famous, I think his name was Pinny Bach. Am I correct? Pinny. And Nebuch, when he died, that put Riskin under because he could never succeed him, could never find people of that capability to run Riskin's yeshiva. But unlike Israel, where Riskin thrives because he found so many people who could help him, assist him, and take over and continue, etc. So, Rav Nata Greenblatt told Israel Shiner the following story that, I'll read it to you. The Rav, being a great Eagle, a great Lamdan, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was boasting how brilliant his son is, and here's this Nutter Greenblatt, father's with him in America, and they turned to the Rav, and they turned to Reb Moshe and asked him, you're boasting about your son is so great, tell me, is he as great as your father, as Reb Chaim? And Reb Moshe stopped, stood silent for 2-3 minutes, before shouting in Yiddish 3 times, Zum Tate Kum Kenenish, to my father, no one is the equal. And I heard the same story from Reb Michal Katz, that Reb Michal Katz, my first Rebbe in Yeshiva, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, that Reb Michal also approached Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe's boasting, mein Zun de Goyen, mein Zun de Goyen. And Rav Michal said to him, he's equal to your grandfather? And he said, Rav Moshe shouted at him, Zum Tata Kumtenisht, Zum Tata Kumtenisht. Okay, now let's roll further. And I have to tell you, I am proud that I know a little bit about a computer. I thank my Talmud, David Katz, who 10 years ago said, Rebbe, it's a disgrace, you don't know how to turn a computer on. And I've learned a little bit. I can get to the Yankee website, which I looked at this morning. They lost yesterday 2-1, first game, spring training. Secondly, I've been able to save lives, paskining shilas through the computer. For instance, a shila with someone who's a Kohen, and his grandparents or great-grandparents, great-grandfather married a convert, and he was worried about the conversion because they weren't totally Shomer Torah mitzvot. And it's a very interesting shaila with Geirat, but you have to know there was a proper conversion. And I did my research. You have no idea what I came up with. And I was able to paskin lahalacha. Because, you know, a Kohen, you cannot tell do a Geirat lachumra. V'day lachakima beremiza. And I was able to tell him, you are an absolute Kohen, nothing to worry about. The conversion was absolutely good. The only one converting in that area was a shaluach from Tzvat who lived in that area for many years and then went back to Tzvat to die. And he was a shtickel of a Hasidic Rebbe. And if he didn't do a proper conversion, then we got to sign off on Yiddishkeit. Okay. Now, what I came up with, I raised the phone. We're starting what we touched upon at the end of last week's shiur. Mishnah Halachot Chelik Yudchet Siman Reish Lamed Bet. Shuv is written in 1986. And it's written to Rabbi Yaakov Aryeh Alta, 1986. Can anyone tell me who Rabbi Yaakov Aryeh Alta is? Gentlemen and ladies, you're going to vote a week from tomorrow. Vic is listening to the Rebbe and he's going to vote and he's going to be crying bitter tears, and you're not the only one to cry. They found the Gerer Rebbe, Rebbe Yisrael, waiting online to vote. This is a true story, early 50s. It's not like today that they bring the ballot to the Gerer Rebbe. Today it's a different world here. It's getting better every day despite the leftist press. And a wise aleck guy who might have been in a Turikatane came to the Rebbe and said, Newman, you're standing online, you're wasting your time. Vasi, this is a mitzvah? And the Rebbe looked at him and said, absolutely a mitzvah. Amo daf menesen chametz. You follow? The Rebbe gave him excuse me? Amo daf menesen mori. He says, nishtan, right, thank you for correct. You noticed they're very good. Exactly. He said, siz nisht a mitzvah from chametz, amo daf menesen mori. And you're going to vote. You know why we have elections this coming Monday? Because of one man. Give me his name, Eti. Reb Yaakov Aryeh Alta. That's why we're having elections. Wait, where are you living? I got to tell you what's going on here. But that's why we had the second elections. They could have made a deal with Lieberman. There won't be a fourth. All the Litvish Rosh Yeshiva were prepared to make the deal with Lieberman. And the Guru Rebbe said no, and no one could influence. He hasn't speak to anyone. And you all know the rest of the story. So I had one. So this tshuva is to this young man at the time, the son of the Gerer Rebbe, Reb Simcha Bunim's son, and Rav Menashe Klein calls him my mechutin. Let me just read it to you. Baki b'chadle Torah k'venazai b'shuki t'veria k'vod k'dushato, and he used the word mechutani. And I went out of my mind. What does that mean, mechutani? It means his son should be married to Reb Menashe Klein's daughter. And I remember, you know, tragedies stick in your mind. I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, a young man who they say was a gon adir, Bucky in Kol HaTorah Kula. Everyone said this man would be the next Gerer Rebbe. And he was crossing the street in Malchay Yisrael and a bus killed him. You have no idea how many great souls have been lost to cars and buses. And if Rakepin had his way, we would not outlaw the computer. We would outlaw all cars. All right? Halavai, just good public transportation with careful drivers. The light rail, we have to give credit. No one in every city in the world introduced the light world. They were kabbonot the first year, the second year. Baruch Hashem, the people driving the light rail are outstanding, and we don't want to say another word, al tiftach peh. But I remember he was killed. So I looked up. I was going out of my mind. I looked up this present Gera Rebbe. All his children are alive. What does he mean, Mechutani? So it dawned upon me to look up Rabbi Menashe Klein. And sure enough, my memory was correct. A daughter was married to a young man who was a giant from Ger, and Ein Hachinami, he was killed. Harav Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alta, killed in 1988. 1988, exactly my memory, late 80s, early 90s, 1988, killed by the bus. He was the son of the Pnei Menachem. So it's not that they were, this was not really his mechutin. It was the nephew of the mechutin. The Pnei Menachem was the younger brother of the father of the present Gera Rebbe. So this is what we call Yiddisha Machatenenschaft. You understand that word? I don't understand it either to translate it. I only know what it means. It means I met someone who was involved. If I can't even get the story out today because it'll take an hour and a half. But Yitzchak, I met, listen carefully, the first people that Aryeh Kroll sent to Russia with dual citizenship. This was 1967, 68. Englishman. He's a mechutin with my brother. My brother, their grandchildren are married. So if I meet him, I'll say, oh, my mechutin. He's not only a mechutin, my brother, but all right, you're the Shemacha Tenenschaft. We're all one family. And here was that fabulous question that has unbelievable implications in the state of Israel. What was the question? Someone needs an operation. It's sakonet nefashot. Sakonet nefashot on Shabbos. The doctor they brought the person to is a Shema Torah mitzvot 100%. No? There's another doctor, and I gotta tell you, Herbie was absolutely right with this question. Another doctor, just as good, just as capable, just as successful, just as well-trained, just as experienced. Another doctor, Lo Aleinu, a typical Jew in the 21st century, Tinok Shenishba, could have grown up in Israel, speaks Hebrew, serves in the army, doesn't know what a Pasuk Chumash is. He never learned the Pasuk Chumash in his life. You understand? He studied in Chuldai's high school in Tel Aviv. And you know what's going on with Chuldai today. No tefillin stand next to the high school. It's beyond comprehension who this man is, who was principal of a high school, turning out high school students, what they know, what they're committed to.
God. He's a Chabadnik.
Who's a Chabadnik?
Chuldai.
Chuldai is a Chabadnik?
Oh,
anti-Chabad.
He is a hidden Chabadnik.
Oh, any hidden Chabadnik wouldn't close down a tefillin stand outside a high school. So this very fascinating question. No, have you ever thought about this? Who should do the operation? Who should be Deicha Shabbat to save a life? Who do we turn to? The frum doctor, the tzaddik, the doctor with the long beard and prayers, or the other doctor who ben kol v'cho is a machal of Shabbos? What does he know about Shabbos? What a fascinating question. All right? I have to say, it raises the very issue. What does it mean you do an operation on Shabbos? What do you mean a medical procedure? Look into the Gemara in Yuma. Daf Pei Gimel Omid Aleph. And here the Gemara in Yuma has a similar question. It's Yom Kippur. Tana Rabbanan. Misha Achazu Bumis. Machilin Oto Hakal Kal. Tevelu Nevela. Machilin Oto Nevela. Tevelu Shviyat. Shviyat. Etc. What's the Gemara talking about? On Yom Kippur, person suddenly is desperate for food. If he won't eat, God have mercy, he can die. Well, I don't have to tell you, let me just see. Sansino, if what the translation of Chuzo Bumus, do I have a translation for it? No, this is something else. Okay. But I would translate a chusabomus, starvation, anxiety, desperate to eat, so desperate that you're worried he can die if you don't feed him. So what do? Do you give him steak and wine right away? No, you begin with the simplest food possible. The less the prohibition, the better for him. And the Gemara gives an example, Shviyat on Tevel. And why? Why Tevel? What do we say here? Tevel u Nevela, Makilin oto Nevela. Tevel u Shviyat, Shviyat. Tevel u Nevela. Tevel, look into Rashi. Something that is Nishgemaiset, that you didn't take off, Trumat and Maisret, so there's a Chiyav Mita Bidei Shemayim. Nevela is only a lav, right or wrong. Give him the nevela. It's only a lav. Follow the way you make the cheshbon. Give him less. The less, the better, as far as the Issa goes. So from this Gemara, what do you see? The less you can do, even to save his life. Yes, Yom Kippur is knocked out. Shabbos is knocked out. But always estimate what is the least prohibition. It's not that Shabbos disappears. Shabbos is Shabbos. But nidchet, not hutrach, if I can use rabbinic terminology. And if it's nidcha, from that Gemara, from the Gemara in Yom Kippur, you see, make a cheshbon. What is less prohibited by the Torah, given that which is less? And this goes on and on. What about if he wants fresh meat? What type of meat do you give him? Is it better to give him an nevela? Should you shecht an animal? Give him kosher meat? You always make the cheshbon, which is less of an issa. All right, this is on Yom Kippur. You find this in Shabbos too. You find this on Shabbos too. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. Mi shehechshik b'derech nosen kiso l'nachri v'im eini mo nachri manich ala lechamar. Higir lechatzar chitzonit notel et hakelim hanitlin b'shabes v'she'en hanitlin b'shabes matir chavalim v'hashkin hasakin noflim me'aleihem. And this is a typical story. You didn't get home in time for Shabbos. By the way, you know, this has really happened. It's not something that's not known to us. People are driving. In my time in Bnei Akiva, there was an Abramson family from the Bronx. If I recall correctly, the father was a sheikhet. Dvorah Abramson came in Aliyah, she was a Petrov. It became a very well-known family here. Her husband is not alive. I hope Dvorah is. He was a professor at Bar Ilan in Latin and Greek. And she and her sisters, Bnei Akiva, they were traveling Erev Shabbos, and the car broke down or the bus broke down, and they got caught in traffic, and before they knew it, it is almost sunset. So they went into a garage, and they Goyim Gemurim, and they left their suitcases in the garage. We'll come back. They explained, with, could you imagine, we're going back now 60 years, 70 years, what I'm talking about, 70 years ago. Who knew about Shabbos? This is before we had a president like Trump. Who knew about Shabbos? Just think for a minute. Today, what a world. What a New York Times. No Shabbos, Kashrut. They may even learn Tarat Mishpacha, but that they won't learn from the president. That they'll learn from his daughter and son-in-law, Vidala Hakima Baramisa. And these girls, wow, left their suitcases, walked and found some shoe, put them up for Shabbos, and after Shabbos they came back and they picked up their suitcases, and the goyim were overwhelmed by such dedication. So you see, this is, here, the guy is walking, suddenly it's sunset, he has his wallet. Remember I told you the story with Rabbi Gutnick, Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Moshe Gutnick in Sydney, Australia. The same story. Remember, we're invited for Shabbos, and where are you eating? The rabbi's house. Where's the rabbi? No one knows. And then walking towards his house, there's the rabbi walking. It turned out he had a get that he had a minister, I told you, in New Zealand, and they couldn't get a flight out. It was rainy till he flew. Sunset, he told the cab driver, I'm leaving you with the suitcase. Here's $50. Tell my wife where you let me off, and she'll understand. And there he is, the same story. So the Gemara asks, why do we care about this man that he has his wallet filled with money, filled with jewelry, whatever he had in the kiss? Why are we so concerned that we tell him, we're worried about what he should do, give it to a Gentile, if not a Gentile, put it on a donkey, etc.? Why are we so concerned? Tell the guy, throw it away. But of course, the answer is that this man, for his money, Kim lehula rabbonin, the ein adam ma'amid atzmo amamono, that if you're not going to permit it, he's going to carry it in himself. Chazal understood that telling a man to throw away a wallet filled with money, to throw away a bag filled with diamonds, this he will not listen. So, therefore, Chazal tried to work it out. But take a look, again, the progression, the last Isser. Give it to a guy. Why is a guy more important than a donkey? Put it on the donkey. No, aren't we obligated to see that our donkeys and our behemoth rest on Shabbos? We're not allowed to utilize them. Rest doesn't mean that they can't graze, can't do what they want to do. But they're not allowed to work for us. A Gentile, there's no halacha in the Torah. It's only a din de rabban and a gezerah. But may din Torah, a Gentile can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever you want. He can do everything for you on Shabbos. Give it to the Gentile. He comes first. And the Gemara continues to discuss, very, very fascinating, Chamor, Cheresh, V'shalter, V'katn, give it to the donkey. And the Gemara asks, why? Cheresh, Shalter, V'katn, a Cheresh, a deaf mute. Today, it could very well be that we rarely have someone who's really a deaf mute. Do you understand why? They all have knowledge today. We can teach them. I have one granddaughter-in-law that at the wedding, when they were entertaining about the couple, you know what they do in Israel, the background, Effie, this girl, this granddaughter-in-law got up and gave a whole talk with sign language, joined by her sisters. It turned out that they all did Shevet Leumi, helping deaf children. I mean, these are the, when you have good Jews in Israel, they're the greatest Jews in the world. No one compares with the good sight of the good that you have in Israel. I don't say everyone's a tzaddik. Huldai is not a tzaddik, but you have some people that are way beyond. So today, what we talk about a deaf youth where he was not educated at all. So why do you give it to the chamar? Give it to the deaf youth? Give it to the shoteh? Shoteh is not obligated in mitzvot. Give it to the katan. The katan, didn't you remember when you were kids, they would give the katanim taliot to carry on Shabbos, to take to shul, to bring from shul? Vic, do you remember that? Yes or no? You remember. Jack, you remember that?
I heard of it.
Toronto, you have an Erev. But we're talking long before everyone and anyone dreamt of an Erev. So the Gemara asked, why does the chamor take precedence? After all, there is a law that the chamor has to rest. He can't do work for you. So the Gemara gives a brilliant answer. Haini Adam. Haini Lav Adam. That these are humans. When all is said and done, a cherish shota v'katan are humans. And a donkey is not a human. And when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, the donkey can do it. He's not human. These people are humans. Cherish v'shota, give it to the shota. Shota v'katan, give it to the shota. And you look into Rashi. Rashi explains that the shota doesn't have any doubt at all, doesn't have any knowledge. So he takes it on Shabbos very minimal. But a cherish, he already has some knowledge. He's not entirely dumb. A katan will one day become big, one day become mature, one day he will become a gadol, so he comes last. But anyway, very fascinating Gemara, and once again you see, with Chilul Shabbos, gradations. Give it to the one that's the last Iser. By the way, Vic, you should know, with kids carrying the taliyot, which in my youth was very widespread, I saw it, of course I saw it. In my youth, very well, we're going back 75 years, why shouldn't they have seen it? There was no Arab, what are you talking about? The Bronx. But I'll tell you why the Rabbanim, some were opposed. For this very reason, the little kid becomes big. Hard for a little kid. He carried a talis. Suddenly, Shabbos is not Shabbos. Carrying is permissible. Kid will become big. He can wind up carrying, you know, and this was one of the biggest problems in the Young Israel movement. When you read all the memoir literature, many people came to shul with handkerchiefs in their pocket. You understand? This was one of the real problems because there was such a breakdown. Shabbos, and there's no Erev, and America, and all right, thank God he's going to shul Shabbos, but not to carry a handkerchief. Many people said, health, what do you mean? Torah doesn't want you to be sick, etc. And this takes you back to Mordechai Kaplan. Elliot, you know the story of Mordechai Kaplan? He had two handkerchiefs tied around his neck. And they asked, and it's classic, and they said, here he doesn't believe in God. Here he just believes in a civilization. Ad kedei kach, handkerchiefs? He said, this is part of a civilization. My father went this way on Shabbos. His father was a big rabbi, was a member of Rabbi RJJ's based in, and I go this way on Shabbos. So I want to tell you, these sources I cited are fascinating. And Ein HaChinami, you might want to build the case. The other doctors, Mechalel Shabbos anyway. What's wrong? Let him do it. Chilul Shabbos. Why should I get involved? the person's life will be saved. You see that there's gradation. Why take someone who is a Talmud Chacham, a Yorei B'Shalem, and tell him to be Mechalos Shabbos? And he makes, and he develops it halachically, meaning that for the frum doctor, all right, Shabbos is nitche. What does it mean, Shabbos is nitche? To save someone's life, Shabbos is negated, abolished, whatever you have to do to save his life. The other guy, who's a tinuk shenishba, it's not that Shabbos is nitche. He has no Shabbos whatsoever. He's an ones. Isn't this one of the famous questions? Tinuk shenishba finds out he's Jewish. How many kabbonot he has to bring for all the times he was mechalel Shabbos? Does he have to bring one, or does he have to bring for every Shabbat, every malacha, the Gemara in Klal Gadol? So for him, Shabbos doesn't exist. He's an ones. That's the word Reb Menashe Klein uses. He's no different than a katan, no different than a shoteh, no different than a cheresh. So let that doctor do the operation. It's a lot less than the doctor shomer Torah u'mitzvot. Ah, David, that's in theory. That's in theory. But Reb Menashe Klein says, and I have to say, very wisely, no. This is pilpul. This is theory. Steve, you can enjoy yourself, the Gemara, with the person arriving at sunset, the Gemara in Yuma, fasting, boomers, pangs of starvation. But there's something much more basic. When you permit Chilul Shabbos to save someone, it's more important to have the frum doctor do it than the tinuk shenishba. And the reason is very simple. What's permissible on Shabbos? To save the life. Many things are not permissible. The frum doctor will be medakdek. He will, wow, look at that. You get direct delivery, Ellie. You must have influence. They call you out, direct delivery. My money is with Ellie, 100%. Coming back here, Shabbos, the frum doctor, is that from China? 1 second. The way it put our minds at ease.
U.S.
So far, thank God. But don't. It's not going to be for long. Take me. You heard the news this morning. Italy is now shut down. And North Korea, and there are three people here. God have mercy. South Korea. South Korea, right. Not North Korea. South Korea. Back here. Very important. Tell me, Shari Tzedek, a hospital that runs al pi halacha, the average doctor who isn't from, he writes on Shabbos. Are you allowed to write on Shabbos? Shari Tzedek, they have a whole system. It's, you know what I'm talking about? When we went to Russia, New Yitzchak, tell them. What did you take with you? A magic slate. Do you know what a magic, am I using the right word? My kids used it. A magic slate, right? That's the right word. Well, you could write all you want. You were delivering messages. From Israel, they want us to tell you. You write the message. They read it. They shake their heads. You lift up the page. Nothing is there. Do you know that in Shari Tzedek, one of the systems they use on Shabbos is exactly that. It's retyped after Shabbos. What's the greatness, Michael? It's a ktav she'ena kayam. It doesn't remain permanent. There's no isidioraita. Tell me, has any tinok shenishba ever thought of this? Would he be concerned with it? Do you understand the difference? a doctor who is shomer Torah and mitzvot 100 times more important halachically that he do the operation than his colleague who is a tinok shenishba. And wow, and he says it, Reb Menashe Klein, I give the man credit. He says exactly what he understood, the way it works. And you can give 1,000 more little examples what you can do Shabbos, what you can't do Shabbos. Only a frum doctor can appreciate that. Tinok shenishba, to save someone's life, and many people have this attitude. Hospitals have to run normal, everything should... Correct. But within the framework of Shabbos, the average doctor who's not frum, he doesn't comprehend what that means within the framework of Shabbos. He'll tell you. It's an emergency. Everything is mutter. For frum Jews, tell me, can you set casts on Shabbos? Can you... broken limbs on Shabbos? The shilas we have are unbelievable. Everything, you know how much has been written on medical practice on Shabbos? I would say tens of thousands of pages, minimum, could even be hundreds. Rabbi Abraham Steinberg, okay, we have experts, endless shilas. That's when you're from. When you're tinek shenishba, they'll look at you. What's the matter with you? It's a hospital. People are sick. Have to help them. They're correct. But the little nitty-gritty, and that's where you have to give credit to Shaarei Tzedek, to Laniato, what's the one called in Bnei Brak? Mimayanei HaYeshuar, I believe. You got to give credit. What we've developed in Israel... Here you can't have like America. America, Isaac has friends, want to be medical doctors. They're looking around for a Shmirat Shabbat internship. And many hospitals will do it. They want the bright Jewish boys. Here, it's just the opposite. Shmirat Shabbat, Dafka, the frum doctor, should be working. So this is Reb Menashe Klein. Very fascinating. Yes, Eli, what did you want to ask?
Total sum of Chil Shabbos, don't you win out by having the Tino Kinesh by doctor doing the surgery? Because otherwise, you have the Chil Shabbos of the Jewish doctor, observant doctor, plus the Chil Shabbos
No. It's not Chilu Shabbos. Shabbos is Nidche. Don't use the word Chilu Shabbos. He's allowed. But the doctor who's not from, he'll do a lot of many other things that the from doctor will know he can't do. And it's not necessary.
And the problem is what, for Shabbos?
Yeah, it's Chilu Shabbos. If you can write on a magic slate, that's a million times better than dictating to a secretary who's typing away. No, but now he's in the hospital. You're not talking about his free time. You're talking to make the cheshman of inviting someone Friday night, which we spoke about last year in Dreitev. No, but here it's the time of the operation, the time in the hospital, the whole deportment. Much better to have doctors who are Shomrei Shabbos than Tinok HaShinish. Plain and simple. And, I have a few doctors in my family, many doctors in my family, my brother, my two grandchildren, etc. They're Baruch Hashem, tzaddikim, as far as tzaddikim, yisodei olam, plain and simple. My brother, Taka, went into ophthalmology because he said there's the least problem with Shabbos in ophthalmology. But nevertheless, there can be emergencies. You're a doctor, it's not Chilu Shabbos, Shabbos Nidcha. But you know what you can and what you can't. All right. Beautiful. Now I want to take you one step further. And I want to show you a Gemara, a Rambam, that you'll never forget. And this is one of the most fascinating questions regarding the Piskei HaRambam And we, until today, we don't have a black and white answer. Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pedalid Amid Bet. And it's part of that sugya I quoted before about eating on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara gets involved in Chilul Shabbos to save someone. And I want to apologize in advance to the women in the class, because you're going to see an attitude here that, you know, the feminists accuse the rabbis of, that we look down upon women, we don't give women credit, the women don't have minds. And I tell you, all of that is absolutely incorrect. You all have to understand one concept that I've explained in 1,000 different lectures since I started teaching 61 years ago. The Torah is given in a certain framework. Anyone who tells you that the Torah talks about automobiles, computers, baseball, doesn't know what he's talking about, because when the Torah was given, there were no computers, there were no automobiles, and the game of baseball was not yet invented. Am I right, Steve? We're talking going back thousands of years. Baruch Hashem.
It's an hour
lifetime. Baruch Hashem. So you understand, Torah is given. Now, within that context, the whole concept of marriage was different. As I told Yitzchak to tell that feminist who smacked his face Friday night, when she asked about Avraham Avinu willing to sacrifice Sarah, say you're my sister, they can live with you, do what they want with you, as long as they don't kill me. And I said, ask the question in reverse, how Sarah could say to Avraham Avinu, take my maid servant as a wife. I don't know. It's this in reverse. But what do we see? We see that it was a different civilization, a different social structure. And you have to understand, women got married at 12. Look at the Gemara in Ketuvot, look at the Mishnayot. 13 already was an old maid. They never studied. Their whole task was childbearing, running a house, etc. By the way, I'll show you once again that the greatest admirer, the greatest Gaon who understood women, respected them, was the greatest Jew who lived in the 19th into the 20th century, the Chafetz Chaim. You'll see it again here in the Mishneh Berurah. It's fascinating that this man had such understanding of women, of the times. You all know Likutei Halacha and Sota, the famous sugya Malamed Bito Tiflet. Chafetz Chaim's the one who opened the door to women to study Torah. If there's a Sim Shas today, and 3,000 women participated, and including some of my students and their wives, and the woman who organized it is married to my student, it goes back to the Chafetz Chaim. And don't let anyone criticize and say, well, this woman did that and that woman did that. I have my own criticisms. Believe me, I told you about the book by Elena Kershan, that it knocked me out of the literature world. I became a chassid because of that book. Don't forget what I told you, that she can still lay in the Torah at a mixed minyan and go through Shas, knock the literature world out. So they'll tell you this, I got more to talk if you heard the news, but it's not important now. What is important, so what? So what? People have choice. And what, out of men, we didn't produce a precursor? I went to Lakewood because of David Hartman. I told you, he was my inspiration. No, where's David Hartman in his later years? You follow me? So what are you going to do? Shut down Lakewood? Shut down the study of Torah? Shut down YU? All right, we produced good. We produced people who went off the path. People have choice. So please, don't tell me this woman, that woman. Look at the Tzidkaniyot. Look at the ones with the dedication, with the Yibigigebenkeit. Oh boy. Okay. What's the Gemara? And let me give you the simple pshat. And 90% of the Rishonim, beginning with Rashi and the literal translation, everyone understands this Gemara black and white. And suddenly the Rambam throws in a fastball, a screwball, a curveball. And boy, we haven't been able to crawl out of the words of the Rambam until today. He affects all our thinking. And the truth is, he was one of a kind. Watch the Gemara. How do you know you can be Mechallel Shabbos? How do you know if a person, something happens Shabbos? I just heard a whole story of someone. They fell on Shabbos. People called the ambulance. How do you know? Do you have a right to say no? Wait till after Shabbos. All right. So the Gemara says, I'm quoting, Pedalar Medet Yuma, V'ein Osim Devarim Halalu, Lo Al Yedei Nochem, Lo Al Yedei Kutim, Ela Al Yedei Gidole Yisrael. V'yein omrim ya'asu devarim halalu lo yedei nashim v'lo yedei kutim avo mitztarfin ledat dat acheret. Okay. Wow. What does this mean? What's the pshat? What's the Gemara talking about? Something happened on Shabbos. A person fell down. A person was hurt. A person slipped. The person doesn't feel well. You want to know whether you can be Mechallel Shabbos. The only people who can tell you that you can be Mechallel Shabbos are Gedolei Yisrael. What do those words mean, Gedolei Yisrael? Yomo, it means, are you over 13 years in one day? That's exactly what it means. Mature male Jews past Bar Mitzvah age. Huh? What if you don't have a machloket? People are arguing whether to call the doctor, not to call the doctor. Well, then you put it to a vote. And even women, even non-Jews, if they feel that, Scotty, that you have to be Mechallel Shabbos calling the doctor, they have a right to vote, but they can't do it on their own. There must be men involved if men are there. Obviously, if there's only women or only non-Jews, so you do what you can. It's an emergency. But if you can think it out, the men decide, women have no say, non-Jews have no say, and all the Rishonim basically explain why don't they have a say. Well, the women don't have knowledge. The non-Jews don't know what Shabbat is all about. It's like a Shaila fasting on Yom Kippur. Whenever I get a Shaila of ask for someone fasting on Yom Kippur, I always give the same answer. You have to ask a doctor who is Shema Mitzvah. Thank God in Israel, there are no lack of doctors, Shema Torah U'Mitzvah. Why do you need a doctor, Shema? You need a doctor who knows what Yom Kippur is. If the doctor's not from, right away you can eat in Yom Kippur. If the doctor knows what Yom Kippur is, then of course, and he says you can eat, you can eat. But this is the Gemara. A Gentile doesn't know what Yom Kippur, what Shabbat is. A lady doesn't know the halachot. Only mature individuals, men. Okay. No, the Rambam, anyone recognize what's going to happen now? And all the Rishonim, almost without exception, learn pshat like I just told you. Look into Rashi. Shapenstein made a decision. All of Shas will be explained according to Rashi. Can I quote the Rav to you? With these ears I heard the Rav say it. Everyone thinks the Briska, the Rambam, we always, every Shia, the Rambam, the Mishneh Torah. Without Rashi, we would have no Torah Shebaal Peh today. No, the Rambam is wonderful. What the Rambam did without a computer to put together all these halachot, wow. But without Rashi, we wouldn't understand the Daf Gemara. And it all begins with understanding the Daf Gemara. Look into the Rambam, Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Bet, Halacha Gimel. And he's talking about someone who's ill, someone you have to be machalos Shabbos for, or push away Shabbos would be more correct. Lahadiach laha et haShabbat. Kishosin devarim elu eino sunatam lo al yedei goyim, lo al yedei katanim, lo al yedei avodim, velo al yedei nashim. If we're going to let them get involved and they'll see Chalul Shabbos, they'll treat the entire concept of Shabbat lightly. I just want to tell you in parentheses, because I greatly respect the women sitting in front of me, and considering my wife and I only had daughters, and I have some fabulous granddaughters-in-law, fabulous, fabulous, Kanayin Hara. So I have to tell you already now, the Mishneh Brura and other Achronim already say that's only when women weren't educated. When women are educated and know about Shabbos and know about medicine, they're the equal of any man. But nevertheless, we're now talking the Rambam's period. And the Rambam says, you can't use Goyim, you can't use Ktanim, you can't use Avodim, you can't use Nashim. So who do you use? Ella al yedei gedolei Yisrael, so far her be so good, mature Jews. Michael, like Rashi, like I said, wrong. The Rambam throws a curve ball. Let me read it to you. Ella al yedei gedolei Yisrael v'chach mehem. And their sages. And Rambam here may be very well saying the words we hear today. Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah, Gedolei Yisrael, not just mature Jews post Bar Mitzvah, giants of Torah, Efi Chachmeihem, Gedolei Yisrael, who are learned, Bekiyim in Shas and Poskim. We're standing here, something happened. In this room was the last time I was together with Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. The last time we were together Shabbos. We were younger and Rabbi Aaron was in better health. And I gave a shiur in this room and Rabbi Aaron came to hear the shiur. And we were together in this shiur. So imagine a kid fell. Do we call a doctor? Do we call an ambulance? Who has to make the decision? Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. Follow? Chachmeihem. Do you understand the halachic implications of this Rambam? Who has to do the operation? No question about it. The Shomer Shabbos doctor. The more learned, the more the obligation. We have 5 medical doctors, all surgeons. I'm dealing, by the way, with surgery right now in my... don't want to go into details, but Be'ezrat Hashem, it could be a Talmud that I influenced before most of you were born, about 55, 56 years ago. It'll help the Technion develop a new type of surgery. So, 5 doctors. Who does the surgery? One doctor has yore yore yadin yadin. The other doctor has only yore yore. The other doctor only has a ktav rabbanut. The other doctor is only a shtikla chazan. And the other one is a shtikla sheichet. Who does the surgery? The doctor with yore yore yadin yadin. And that might very well be the Rambam. Maimonides. Can't dismiss Maimonides so easily. But what a chiddush, how he interprets the Gemara. Wow. And look into the Keset Mishnah. And the Keset Mishnah struggles. Eliadei gedoli yisrael v'hachameihem umashma al yedei shay yisrael lo. And he says, according to the Rambam, no other Jew can do it. Rakefet, I'm over 13. No, you're not a gadol b'Yisrael. You're not a chacham. Jack is over 13. Could you imagine the Rambam and the Keset Mishnah is troubled? He says, how can he think like this? He says, no, it can't be. And he interprets the Rambam, the Nachat Rabbeinu Gedoilim Lema'et Ktanim, Yisrael Lema'ute Goyim, V'hachmehem Lema'ute Noshim, Shedaiton Kalot. The Keset Mishnah, total different Rambam. What does it mean, Chachamehem? Learned people, knowledgeable people. Women didn't go to school. Women didn't get degrees. Today, they tell me there are more women studying medicine than men. In the conservative reform movement, there are more women studying for the rabbinate than men. Are you aware of that? That I knew already. But medicine, medical school, they say high tech, a tremendous percentage of women. Today it's a different world. But the Keset Mishnah is talking at a time where women never went to school. Women learned nothing in the old shuls in Eastern Europe. There was a farzaga. You know what a farzaga was? One woman who knew how to read. This woman stood in front of the women and she read from the Siddur. And the women used to repeat what she was saying. So please, don't be offended and don't throw spitballs at the Rabbanim. Torah is given within a certain civilization. There were no cars and no computers and no baseball. The whole civilization was different. Men had two wives, three wives, etc. Look at the Sephardic world. Look at the kids I taught, the Sutton family. Hundreds and hundreds of relatives. He said, my grandparents had four wives. No, with four wives.
All that you're saying is very
nice. Well, one second.
Please.
Chafetz Chaim didn't take it literally.
I'm not talking about
the no, so who are you talking about?
Don't
generalize. The Belzer Rebbe didn't take this Gemara literally. And even in Satmar, they're giving somewhat of an education. But all right, give it time. Life moves in a certain cycle.
A young woman who came out of the she was a Beis Yaakov girl from New Jersey. And she told, I asked her, did you learn the Mishnah? Did you learn the Chumash with Rashi?
No.
The Chumash with Rashi, yes. Mishnah, no.
Chumash with Rashi for a girl playing is already an achievement. In Satna, they don't teach the girls Chumash with Rashi. You understand?
Please.
In Square, they don't teach. All right, so you have to influence. That's our job, to show that one can be a Gaon and a Tzaddik and be part of the Western world.
But we have to admit the truth. These people still are literally.
Not the Chafetz Chaim. Baruch HaTor Adonai Melech Olam
Shekol Nia
B'Dvaro. And not your Rebbe, our Rebbe. Moreinu V'Rabbeinu.
He also had daughters.
Say that you're blaming it on having daughters. I just want to finish up. He had a son. Rabaran, yes, he had a son. From his second wife, he had a son and a daughter. From his first wife, you may be right, he only had two daughters. You may be right. That's correct. But Reb Mendel Zaks was married to a daughter. But Rabaran HaKohen, yeah, was married to a daughter from the second wife. Right. He was Reb Mendel Zaks, my bochei, bring back many memories. But okay, one second. All right, let me just go one step further and look into Orach Chaim, Hilchat Shabbos, Siman Shin Chaf Chet. Sif Katan Bet. And here you'll see the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins Kishemachalalim Shabbat al Cholesh Yeshbo Satana Mishtadlin Shalola Sot al Yedei Einem Yehudim Uktanim Venashim Ela al Yedei Yisrael Gedolim Ubnei Dat. So you see the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, but he interprets the Rambam that Chachamehem means knowledgeable. Doesn't mean Gedolei Yisrael, great Talmidei Chachamim, great in Frumkeit. And then you look into the Ramah, and you'll notice the Ramah already is more hesitant than the Mechaber. And the Ramah says that if you can do it without losing time, so it's like paraphrasing the concepts in the Gemara, do it al yedei shinui if you can. In other words, if writing something down has to be done instantly and it's quicker than doing it on a magic slate, so you can only do it on a magic slate if losing the second will not make a difference. The im efsha lasot al yedeinu yehudi below icha klau, better ain't a yehudi. And he goes on, v'chein nohagim, avol b'mokum di sheyesh lachush sheyitzatzel v'hainei yehudi, ein la'asot al yedei en yehudi. The minute you're worried the non-Jew will be negligent, will be slower, do it like the Mechaber says. So you see here, and he says, v'chein nohagim, that in Eastern Europe this was the practice. So the Mechaber certainly is less machmir than the Ramah. The Mechaber certainly takes the Rambam halacha lemaisa, doesn't go so far as to interpret it as meaning Gedolei Yisrael in the sense of Chacham Shel Torah, Bekiyim in Shas and Poiskim, or the example I gave, Yori Yori, Yadin Yadin, very, no, but it means Jews who are knowledgeable, understand what medicine is, understand what Shabbat is, and will do it as quickly as possible. And that's the Machloket, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. Next week, I'll finish out this concept, and I'm going to tie it. You're going to, next week, share very fascinating, beyond the Magen, the Taz, the Mishnah Brura. I'm going to show you a sefer called The Rav, The World of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, show you Rabaron Cutler, take it all and tie it in to Tzva Haganah LiYisrael. And finally, blow your mind if you saw the freebies on Friday in Shul, published by Tzomet, no less than a Hasidic story about medical doctors. And we'll ask, after I tell the story, we'll ask Eli to explain it, because my Litvish mind has difficulty understanding it. Okay, give me 1 second to clear my throat. Okay, let me go one step further. So what did we do today? We finished out a number of questions that hung fire over the various Sheyurim. I got to give Yomo credit, that one on the water for Kiddush or Havdalah tantalizes me. And now all the more do I stand with my psak for a Chabadnik. He can use the Chabad water to make Havdalah. To me, it seems it's not a shaila now.
Only for
Kari.
Only for?
Kari, a villager. No, that's the old problem. How if you're a Hashulchan, you're not allowed to use anything but wine. And yet we make Kiddush on liquor. You understand? So when you confirm for that, we'll worry about the villager. And then we touched upon in some good detail the question, very fascinating question. This is Mamish Halacha L'Maisa. Which doctor should do the operation on Shabbos? And the Rambam is Marapsin Igra. That Chachma Yisrael, I will come back to it next week. Wow, what does it mean? Because the simple pshat, Gidole Yisrael v'chachameihem, implies giants of Torah and Yirat Shemayim. Pshuto k'mashma'o. Okay, now let me go one step further. To all my students listening around the world, last Monday I blew into orbit and demanded that everyone go to vote, and don't give me the baloney that our politicians are worthless, dummies, play games with us. You're absolutely right, but Mashiach isn't here yet. And voting in Israel is extremely important because you're voting on Chilul Shabbos B'Parhesia. Yes or no? Those listening around the world, I met with someone from the Board of Governors of the Jewish Agency on Friday. Yomo was witness to that meeting in the office. He pleaded with me to ask everyone who's not an Israeli citizen to vote in the upcoming World Zionist Organization election. You have to pay what they call a shekel, whatever it is. You get the right to vote. It is crucially important to vote for Mizrahi. Mizrahi is a conglomeration of religious parties. Why is it so important? The Reform Movement has now taken over the Jewish Agency. They have endless people who vote. They're part of their membership for their shul includes the shekel for the World Zionist. They vote. They have power. They take over the agency. Today, I read half a year ago that, give you an example, the JNF is no longer doing work in Yehuda Bishomron, Jewish National Fund. That's a result of the Jewish Agency, the Reformed Jews, the Bernie Sanders of our generation. Shem Rishon Yirkav, we're up against the hatred, the rabbis, this Asher Ackerman, read about it. They should arrest him. It's beyond words what they can get away with. And they're the ones, the JNF is part of the World Zionist Movement. They have now the JNF stopped working Yehuda Vishomran. More than that, they've come up with a curriculum that in every fifth grade school in Israel, outside of the religious schools which won't allow it, they have a curriculum on pluralism, that there's Orthodox, there's Conservative, there's Reform, we're all Jews. Chil Shabbos, Achilat Nevelat and Treifat, Bilat Bilot Asurat, Hashem Yerachem. I want to quote Rakefet to you. 100 years ago, they introduced mixed pews, took down the Mechitza. As a result of that decision, millions of Jews have left the fold, assimilated, intermarried, have nothing to do with the Jewish people. I challenge anyone in the world to prove that I am incorrect. Enough has been said. Please vote. The freebies. First of all, we can be very proud of Herbie's grandson. The English high school is advertising 5 of its graduates that achieved distinction in the army. One of them is your grandson, Herbie. Pass this back to Herbie. Did you see this?
Yes.
Do you want another copy?
No.
All right, if anyone wants it, it's up for yours. Here, I don't know what the world's going crazy. I knew about this many, many years, but here, it's all this 3 entries. Reb Moshe Feinstein, they found the letter that he wrote that he doesn't permit Chalav Akum when Chalav Yisrael is available. This letter was written later in life, and you can accept it as you wish, but somehow, where did I see this? Yeshiva World News, it's like Columbus discovered America. Worried liberals. This is the next problem that begins March 1st. Here in Israel, as you know, they no longer give you bags, plastic bags in the supermarket. And now, March 1st in New York City, or New York State, no longer plastic bags. Worried liberals. Some worry if New York's coming plastic bag ban is enough. And it goes on to the whole problem. They tell me in Israel they're developing a type of bag that can be given out and disintegrates and causes no problems whatsoever. I only hope when they start manufacturing it, they manufacture it in Yehuda v'Shomron. When we come up, they're now working on the, what do they call it, the coronavirus. In Israel, six hospitals have applied for patents and things they're doing. I hope when they come up with it, only manufactured in Yehuda v'Shomron. I told my grandson, who's a graduate of the Technion, he and his wife, both Technion MDs, I said, please see to it that whatever you come up with is manufactured in Ariel. Ariel's not that far from the Technion. All right, we'll see what happens. My dear students, Rakefet already said this. There is now a heta. Not only a heta, you are obligated, if you live in Chutz Laaretz, to take off your beard, your payas, not to wear black clothes or a black hat. Isaac, why? Common sense. And Baruch Hashem, I wasn't drawn. New York Times article, most visible Jews fear being targets as anti-Semitism rises. Anyone beaten up, knocked over, Crown Heights, Williamsburg, etc., it's not like Rakefet who can walk there and they got to look twice to see whether he's Jewish. All right, my crooked nose gives me away. But I can wear a sign to I'm Italian. You know, the Italians also have crooked noses. But when you have a beard and payas and black clothes, you are a target. And boy, that is a sad article. I wish I was wrong, but the New York Times certifies Rakefet. Yitzchak, this is for you. Go on to tablet. You know what tablet is? Again, I don't understand all this. They now publish magazines online. You can't even hold it in your hand. But all right, this is the world.
It's a left-wing liberal publication.
Yeah, anyway, a Talmud sent me a link to In a Birch Forest with the KGB. This, you know, in Russia, they would celebrate, this is celebrating Lag BaOmer. They go into the forest, or Tu B'Shvat this was, and they have a picnic, they sing Hebrew songs, and they're able to do this until the KGB comes along. What's amazing about this, it's from the early 70s. People are visiting from America, took pictures.
So give it to Michael, he was there then.
And you have here pictures of, I always think of you because I sent you, but Michael went for your America, okay? Pictures of Anatoly Sharansky as a youngster. Pictures of Elia Esas as a youngster. Wow. Available. I'll come to this last. Give me another minute. This is unbelievable what's going on. They claim that the committee that looked into Haredim being called into the army has come up with a proposal not to draft Haredim because they're too expensive. You finally get them when they're married, they have children, the army has to pay them a bit of a salary. So I have one simple question to ask. Within your lifetime for sure, maybe even mine, I know I need another, I would say an extra 120 years just to finish all that I want to teach, all that I have in my notes. You should see what's doing in the office. But even in my lifetime, Haredim are going to be the majority of the country. Who's going to serve in the army? What are we going to do? Jackie Mason? I visited Israel after the Six-Day War. The Jews are so smart. I saw all their tanks and all the tank drivers are Puerto Ricans. They hired Puerto, you know what he's saying, he saw Spartan for the first time in his life. What are you going to do? We're going to hire guys from Jordan and Egypt to drive our tanks? Gentlemen, this is the most serious And Reb Heschel just told me this morning it's gone much further. We are being brainwashed. According to the laws of New York State, according to the New York Times, according to Reform and Conservative Judaism, it may even be according to some of the people in Avi Weiss's place. Rakefit is an absolute fanatic. He's from the Dar HaChoshech, what they used to call the black element, that he says homosexuality and lesbianism is not normative. We are being brainwashed. We have to let the world know it is not normative. This is not the way God created the world. From my experience, 4 out of 5 lesbians or homos that I had as students were not inborn. They were a result of life circumstances. I can go on and on. I described to you the Cabot House story. I have many more. There are under 2%, approximately 1 point something, it's close to 2, that have an inborn trait. But some of us have inborn traits. Some of us, you know what, Chazal, if you're a shaykhid, it shows you have that trait to kill. Thank God you're a shaykhid, not a killer. I saw people with tempers lift up a tablecloth and break all the dishes, etc., etc. The Rav boasted that he's trying to correct his temper. He's taking it. We have this in a tape from the 60s, and the audience breaks into laughter as much as they respected Rebbe. But they all knew of Rebbe's temper, and he said, I'm trying, I don't say I got there yet. But you have to know, I don't want to go further, there's treatment, there's certain things, and I can spell it out, but I can't mouth those words in public. Okay, YU stands with a tremendous problem today. The students there demanded the right to be recognized. Their LGBTQ club, whatever all those things mean. And the Rosh Yeshiva refused to allow it to be recognized, so the students passed it back to the administration. The administration evidently said no. The students now have gone to the federal government. This is just now. Malshinut, Halshana. It is beyond words. According to the law, they can cut off all support to YU. What you're talking about is closing the institution down. It is just tragic. I'd love to know how Lakewood, if they get federal support, how they can manage. And I'm curious, Touro, Lander College, not Touro as much, Lander College, etc. But here's the article with some other interesting articles.
Gotcha. Catholic students do that in the Catholic
University? I don't know, but the world is so brainwashed today, anything is possible. And finally, I want to remind everyone that tomorrow at 9:05, we are returning to the world of Rabbi David Hollander, and I have a feeling people are listening to this year. I just get from a Talmud listening in Lawrence. He tells me weekend, I think it's Yateg Ne'emana Modia, a whole bill article, and Rabbi David Hollander. Who brought Rabbi David Hollander back to life in this very classroom? So we deal with Rabbi David Hollander, deal with Rabbi Louis Bernstein, deal with the unbelievable problem that Rabbi Louis Bernstein had in the mid-80s, you'll see, which captures it all. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, we move further. The history of Rabbinical Council of America, the Halachic Commission, Rabbi Simcha Levi, a name not known to anyone today, but if anyone will follow me down to the office, you will meet his great niece, Sherry Levi, married to his great nephew, Rabbi Benji Levi. I want to thank the wonderful people sitting in front of me. You make my heart rejoice. I told you I got here by miracles this morning. Only in Israel can they tell you, forget that you have a car, forget that you have the right to get out of your house. Your street is cut down for 3 weeks. You look at the map in the papers, you'll take a look. Rav Berlin, corner of Gaza, finished. And imagine I boasted to you that I worked out a plan. We drove out backwards, my car and Sam Dershowitz behind me, 5 o'clock in the morning. We made the Cheshman. No one will be coming in one way. It's one block. That's one way.
You wouldn't have these
problems. How do I get to Grush? Davening is not a problem. I can, who is to come to the Shtiblach? I walk up to old Rivka. How do I get to Grush? Herbie, you got a brilliant mind. You survived Hitler. You survived America. Tell me how I get to Grush. Until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vadania. I want to ask the Shurins a question. Esther, question.
The Shurin boys were part of that polo.
In Boston. Correct.
Matt Davis farm.
Correct.
His uncle,
Mr. Still on. You can disconnect. We'll handle it. Don't worry. Good. I want to ask you a question.
His uncle, how are you?
Howard and Sladowski.
Baruch Hashem, Esther and Herbert are here. They're okay. They're
no,
in Florida.
But the parents.
They're in Florida.
Of course, they didn't come this winter.
I'm going to send your student is Esther, remember?
Yeah, of course. Esther Rayla.
Right. So
no, but that she's all right. There's no big kiddush.
No. But I'm saying she was just texting me.
About my generation. My generation, I don't answer the phone. There's no one left. This one, that one. The picture of the Rav. You saw the new book, right? The picture of the Rav, one by one, everyone in.
Of course, in your class.
Of course.
Okay, right, so you also had a little, we're not exactly your generation. We're not getting younger.
We're not getting younger.
But your classes are phenomenal lately. Everything is so, and then you brought to light Rabbi Rosenberg, and you quoted from the Keshes Giborim. Word for word. Thank you very much.
I think they thank me. It's
something else.
It's living history.
Yeah.
But I got to get it.
Kabbalah became very popular. I'm sure Rabbi Rakafet had something to do with it. Do you know who a young man, Geberer, is? He has a podcast
on
history.
He's
also into my father-in-law.
Right.
He wrote the whole article.
He got it from me.
That his kabrusa was our son Beryl, whose name is Rabbi Rifkin. Then Beryl gets in touch with him. He says, "This is my Zayda." He said, "You're kidding."
No.
I should meet him. Really.
He was Mike Talmud. You can meet him. He came to meet me years ago.
So he really. I said,
he's in Beit Shemesh.
And then there was an art. There was a letter about same way we found a letter about Mrs. Rebel. So Betty, somebody, Dickman from Chicago, was thanking my father-in-law for an article he wrote on the Chafetz Chaim. Then she said that as a little girl, 5 years old, she got a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim and how he put his hand in her head and how he was waiting in the her father was a doctor. So this letter also went viral because of Deborah. David, we were reading in the house because she had a nice handwriting, so it was easy for David to read, the Yiddish. So then,
right.
All of a sudden, he's doing a lot of good work for us.
He learned in Mir for many years.
Right, that's where he was coming also with my son.
But he's very broad. He's broad.
Yeah, he grew up in America.
And David, I want to tell you a word of mine that a little bit inside. I don't know if you realize, last summer we were honored by Lakewood and Chabad.
I only know from your talk.
So in Lakewood, I said to them, Avi Weiss did me the biggest favor. So they looked at me. I said, today you start to appreciate the good in YU, that not everyone is like Avi Weiss. And they said, it's true. And even Agudat Yisrael came out with a statement, we never criticized REITs.
Yeah.
It's just the calling, and you see the problem now. I didn't want to say what Heshi just told me.
They're going to stop funding.
They can close the yeshiva. He said.
That's why supposedly the college had to go along with this.
But now they're
going to have to make a separate branch. They're going to have to, they're going to have to have a spinoff. They're going to need building lawyers.
Let them go somewhere else.
How are you? No. We follow you too. I'm in touch with Debbie.
She got a Mazel Tov Kuthra.
What did you say? Dad French. He wished you a Mazel Tov, so I called Debbie.
Vic is voting Balkach. He's going. When he votes, he has a kingdom of Yishadar Israel and a kingdom of Yishadar Harab. He didn't want to vote. I said, Vic, they are idiots. They did make jerks out of us. But
his brother-in-law Aaron Sivyak and David were in the same smicha class, and we got married around the same time, and we're still busy with each other. And that's right.
Rabbi, I played.
He played.
I played,
played
at our
wedding.
Right.
You know Steve Breschler? Steve grew up in the Bronx, and he says, Eidet Nemana, when I tell you, Rabbi Nevin.